Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our David versus Goliath episode 8 recap. We just had probably the best tribal council we've had in a couple seasons now. Definitely the best one of this season so far. John Mondo goes home because they were just smarter than him. That's really all it came down to. Davey, Carl, and Nick really came up with a good plan here. Probably told Christian, considering Christian ended up voting for John. Looks like just Davey and Christian voted for John. I'm not sure if there was a third vote there. Lexa and I are trying to figure out, did Angelina get three votes or did John get three votes? We can't figure it out. So whoever saw that, somebody comment that. But John Mondo goes home, even though Angelina and Christian got all of, or got most of the votes and were the targets primarily. Christian ended up, I believe, with seven votes. And he's still in the game because Davey decided to keep him around. That's really what it comes down to. They decided to keep him around. And I like this. We normally don't see people make these big moves right now. But Davey made it tonight. And even though it wasn't necessarily for the benefit of him, it can definitely swing the numbers. And now you only need to swing one person in your favor.
Yeah. And that was a roller coaster of emotions. Because when Davey played that, all I thought was he's done such a good job of telling nobody about this idol. And there were a lot of conversations between Davey, Carl, and Nick about all these new advantages they have. And Davey still alluded to the fact that nobody knew he had an idol. And even he was like, ah, there's still 12 people left. Do I want to blow myself up here? But I think he did a great job. I think he went up there and he said, you know, I'm sorry I had to hide this from you guys, but I hope it was worth it. Mm-hmm. And it worked out really well. And Davey and Christian, we never really saw much of a connection there. Davey and Carl always seemed like they were on the outside because of this whole Strikeforce thing, which lasted a hot 18 hours. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, Angelina had to beg Dan for his idol. I'm sure they had a lot of fun editing that, like making Dan just stare blankly at her and have her go through jacket gate all over again. My mom called me I called my mom right after the episode. And she made a good point. She's like, Angelina has no shame. She'll ask for it. And you know what? She's still here. So she's still kicking. I was wavering. I had a lot of thoughts on Dan tonight. I didn't think he was going to play that for her. But in the end, they stuck to their guns. And this is going to be a really crazy rebound off of this. Because now these David versus Goliath lines are very drawn in the sand. I think John was one of the few who kind of wavered and really liked Christian, and he even said it's going to be a brochacho blindside, which he said in his last words, like, well, screw me, I'm the one who said it, now I'm gone. Mm-hmm. He was really upset about getting rid of Christian, and Christian ultimately is one of the reasons he goes home. And there's a lot to dissect here. Dan can't stand Angelina, And Dan ends up saving her only to lose probably his closest ally. So a lot going on here, Phil.
Yeah, he definitely lost his closest ally. And I'm looking over in the chat, and it was John who got three votes. Nick, Davey, and Christian all voted John. So Dan didn't need to play the idol. So it actually is a wasted idol after all of that, because he gives it to Angelina, who only gets two votes. So if he doesn't give that to Angelina, John still goes home.
So, okay, this is where my inability to do simple math kicks in. Why did Davey play the idol then?
Well, he had to play it for Christian. Otherwise, Christian goes home.
Oh, right. True. So Dan had an incorrect idol play. Davey had a correct idol play.
Yes, exactly. So where my whole question comes in is, how did they know to give more votes to John? Why did the three of them, out of that group of five, out of these Goliaths who were left, why did the three of them decide to vote for John? If they didn't know that Davey had this idol, because why are you splitting the votes between Angelina and between John if you don't know that Davey has an idol? And plus, the whole plan was, oh, what if we do the steal the vote? But if you're splitting votes, the steal the vote's not going to help you.
I feel like they knew what to do going in. I think, so I guess that with what I'm saying, I guess that means that Christian, when he's like got his head in his hands, that's a bit of acting, because Christian probably knows at that point. Christian voted for John. That mm-hmm. means that Christian's in on this. So I think Christian was playing up like having this absolute meltdown. And I think, did Davey tell Nick right before Tribal Council when they were in that hammock, like, oh, I do have this idol? I can't remember, because there were so many times he told us versus telling the other players. But Christian was in on that. Why would Christian have voted for John otherwise?
Well, here's what I think ended up happening. So now that we're actually talking about it, I think it makes more sense. Davey hadn't told anybody about his idol. And so at the beginning of the episode, which we'll get into later, he finds out from Nick and Carl that, you know, they have all these advantages. And I figure, okay, Davey's probably spilled it at that point. And then he goes on to say he hasn't told anybody. What must have happened is when Nick and Davey were on the hammock, Davey must have said to him, look, I have an idol. We need to make Christian believe that he's going, or Christian needs to keep playing up like he's going home. We're only going to tell Christian. We're going to leave Carl in the dark. We're going to leave Gabby in the dark. And that's why Davey goes up there and makes that whole speech of, look, I'm sorry for the people in my alliance. It's because Carl and Gabby didn't know, not necessarily because they don't trust them, but because you don't need them. So you only need three votes. So let them do whatever they're going to do. Let them vote for Angelina. And plus, the less people who know, now you only need three people to act. You only need Christian to act, you only need Davey to act, and you only need Nick to act. And everybody was going to believe Christian because Christian didn't have an idol and because Christian seemed very, very shocked. So that one was fine. I don't think anybody expected it from Davey. And then Nick, I feel like, was just hamming it up. And right now, as I'm watching this, I feel like Nick's going to win. Nick is just – he's got his hands in every single pot. Yeah, he's all over the place.
Nick is coming out of – not coming out of nowhere, but – I think we were talking about this when we did our predictions with Johnny Fairplay. He is just climbing. He started off so low, and Nick had a huge episode tonight. And huge. To your point, I think it was Christian was sitting alone, and Nick comes up to him, and Nick was being pretty sketchy to him. He was like, they're lying to you. He didn't flat out tell him the votes are coming your way. He just said they're lying to you. Mm-hmm. It was enough to get Christian wigged out. And there were obviously conversations that we didn't see, but he did a really good job of managing that situation, of making sure that Christian didn't have a meltdown, working with Davey. He didn't force Davey to play that idol. He kind of said, like, what do you think about us using this vote steal? And for whatever reason, Davey ended up going with using an idol instead of vote steal, and that ended up being the right choice.
Well, because if you go with the vote steal, all you do is tie at 6-6. And then what ends up happening is on a revote, you lose 6-5. Because or you lose 5-4 because you don't have Christian voting. I don't know what that was.
There's a dog.
There's a monster in your apartment.
There's a small dog.
So you lose Christian's vote because he's one of the people in the tie, so he's not allowed to vote. And then you lose Angelina's vote because she's in the tie, so she can't vote. But the thing is, you don't get an extra vote in the revote, so you lose it 5-4 because there's still more Goliaths than Davids. Mm-hmm. Now what you have is you have somebody who can – now you can use this steal a vote, because it's not just an extra vote. It's a steal a vote. So you steal it from one of the Goliaths, and now you actually do have the 6-5 advantage. The Davids actually have the advantage right now. And what's even a little bit crazier than that is Carl doesn't play his idol nullifier tonight because Carl must have been in on this plan too. I think everybody was in on this plan except Gabby, and Davey's speech was mainly at Gabby. I'm going to be honest, because Carl could have easily played his idol nullifier if he thought that every other vote was for Angelina, which he clearly didn't think, because he didn't even think about playing the idol nullifier.
Well, was that, idol would he have nullified? He wouldn't have known Dan. That Dan had, but he wouldn't have known that Dan was going to do that.
But Dan Angelina did it.
He has to play it first. No, you put it in the voting urn.
Oh, you do?
Yes. That's what makes this idol nullifier so difficult. When Carl votes, he writes down his vote, and then he also writes in the nullifier, and it's in the urn.
Gotcha. Okay, see, I didn't know that, and that's the hard
part. It's a very odd – you have to have, like, a lot of foresight to play that correctly. Not that Carl doesn't, but when that happens, I feel like it's going to be played incorrectly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense, because I thought that you could just play it after the idols are read. I didn't know that you had to play the idol nullifier or after the votes are read, after the idols are announced, whatever the hell. After the idols are announced, I thought that you could play the idol nullifier. So, yeah, that's crazy. So that means that Carl would have to play it beforehand, because I was going to say Carl could just nullify Dan's idol, which means he would have been on the plan. But I guess since, you know, he couldn't play it, maybe he wasn't in on the plan. But that was just my assumption there. So go ahead.
I have a quick question, which, again, my mom brought up. I can't take credit for this. I know this is, like, probably happened in the past, but I'm not connecting. Let's say all these John votes are actually Angelina votes. The only two names that get put out there are Christian and Angelina. Every single vote that is cast is nullified by idols. Do you revote?
I think they revote. I think that's what ends up happening. Right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think that's what ends up happening.
And then I guess Christian goes home. I don't know.
Well, Christian can't go home because he had an idol played for him. And Angelina can't go home because she had an idol played for her. So it's whoever the next person the Goliaths wanted out, which is why this move is so risky, because you know Dan has an idol. So because you know Dan has an idol, you can't just sit there and say, okay, we're going to just put all the votes on one person. So that's probably where the split comes in, is you'd rather John go home than Angelina go home. You know that two of your people are voting for Angelina. You know that they think Angelina is getting the votes, so you're assuming that, okay, Dan's gonna, if he is gonna play his idol, he's gonna play it for Angelina. Let's make sure that we don't go into a revote situation, because if we do, we still don't have the numbers and we end up losing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good call. Some people are saying that's what the in Cambodia, that one that Jeff had to draw on a chalkboard. I don't even remember how that went. Kimmy, Keith, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
People were still available. Like, I'm not wording this correctly. Like, people received votes who were not.
The problem with that one was, it's like the Suri vote, the reason why Suri goes home is because she's the only one who doesn't have an idol. So she goes home. In that situation, and I might be wrong, but I think in that situation, it came down to Kimmy or Keith, and because everybody else had played idols. So I forget who the idols were played for, but it came down to Kimmy or Keith, and Keith was ready to walk out of there, even though they actually had the numbers. They had more, because the two people who had received votes or who had gotten idols played for them, I guess, were in the alliance with Jeremy, right?
Well, yeah, because it got to the point where Jeff is like, y'all just need to talk it out and just get rid of someone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that that's what would end up happening. There you go. So Spencer had immunity. Jeremy and Wentworth had idols. So the three of them are safe. The only other two who can go home are Kimmy or Keith. And what ended up happening was, I think it was – oh, and Tasha was there too.
Yeah, I was about to say, it would have had to be tied. It would have had to be an even number, because it would have had to, and they just said, like, I'm not – like, no one would have flipped, so it would have been tied.
Yeah, it was 3-3. That's right.
Okay, exactly. Got it. Yeah. Anyways, so what? Why do you think they picked John?
Because he's the strongest guy out there, and I think because he can win. I think because they're looking at him as he's somebody who's really positive. He's probably always going to be in the Goliath corner, even though he's kind of talking to Christian. But he's not somebody that they're ever going to use in their group of six. And I think people are probably going to be saying, why didn't Kara go home tonight? Because we all know that Kara's threatening. I mean, she was a beast in that reward challenge, which we'll talk about that reward challenge, because I thought that was a great challenge. That was awesome. I love that. Love that challenge. But I think that the reason Kara doesn't go home tonight and John goes home is because even though Kara and Dan have this relationship, nobody's looking at Dan as a threat. And I know that Dan and John have a relationship, but I think that people kind of figured, maybe we can work with Kara down the line. We're never going to work with John down the line. I don't think that.
Do you think so? Even though John and Christian had like this whole thing?
Yeah, but the thing was, okay, Mike White has now decided all of a sudden he wants Christian to go home. He needs Christian out of there as fast as possible. So Mike White wants to make that happen. By him doing that, you've distracted me. So by Mike White trying to flip, you look for somebody who can replace Mike White. Who's that person? It's probably Kara more than it's going to be John, because John has more relationships, I feel like, with Angelina, with Dan. Kara, we only have seen really with Dan. So I think Kara is a little bit more of a wild card that you can say, hey, come to our side, come and play with us. Whereas John, I don't think really ever is.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I guess my thought process was, we've already seen John kind of wiggle his way in, but to someone brought up in chat, John wasn't in Strikeforce. I think like we just assumed he was because he was already in with half of them.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. And he was the one who said like the infamous quote. It's gonna be a hashtag Brochacho blindside. So moving forward, I think we need to get rid of hashtags and prop that. Because yeah, he literally said the word hashtag and there wasn't a hashtag. So
annoying.
Sucks for everybody who put anyone in next. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But he was the one who was like, it really sucks, but I guess we're going to get rid of Christian. And he did not step up to fight it. Mike might also be the biggest loser here, because he's like, guys, I've got this. This is my whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there's this really cool beach scene. We have a lot to cover. Really cool beach scene. And then like becomes an afterthought of this episode.
Yeah, no, it's true. So let's go back to the early part of this episode then, because we do have so much
chronologically.
Let's talk about this Davey and Nick looking for stuff together. And I think this is why I really do believe that Nick's going to win this game now, and why I'm kind of all in on the Nick win Survivor 37. Nick has never
with Johnny Fairplay's new t-shirts.
No, it has nothing to do with that, even though love Johnny Fairplay. I will say that publicly. I don't care what everybody said about that last podcast. It's probably the most fun I've had podcasting ever.
It was a wild podcast.
Yeah, it gets kind of bland talking to Alexa all the time. Johnny Fairplay kept that going. I was so in. I loved it. Loved every second of it.
You
love
thought the frozen one was crazy. Buckle up
for
this one.
Yeah, love all of our guests, but Fairplay was incredible. And, you know, even if you want to go back and listen to that one, a little self-promotion, like he was doing the entire podcast, which made everybody mad, but we kind of just were like, John, say whatever you want to
follow us at patreon.com/specialists.
Yeah, we have /survivor specialists. And if you want to go listen to that, it's not just Power Rankings. It's listed as Power Rankings, but a lot of stuff about Pearl Islands, a lot of stuff about the behind the scenes. Anyway, going back to where we were here, we've never once seen him be like, I'm with Davey, I'm with Davey, I'm with Davey. We've never seen that. That's never happened. Even in the first vote, it was Davey, Carl, Elizabeth, and B.
They don't have a nickname. They're not a real alliance.
Yeah, they're not a real alliance. So like, we've never seen Nick working with Davey. And yet, what ends up happening is in this situation, Nick is running around with Davey looking for idols. And I think that just shows how good of a relationship he has with everybody and how good he is at building these relationships with everybody. It's because he's Davey trusts him enough to be like, all right, let's look for the most important thing in this game together. And for anybody who would ask, you know, what would the producers do if an advantage wasn't found? Well, they'll just drop it with a blue ribbon around it.
They'll just like chuck it onto a rock.
Yeah. And look, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's great. You need to get that into play. But I think it's funny that it's literally the exact same
thing. I didn't like that. They could have put that in a tree. They could have climbed for it. You got to give me a little more than that.
Well, here's what I think.
It's an 80s painting with one tree on it, which looks dangerously similar to the one massive tree on that beach.
Here's what I think, and here's what my biggest problem is. What I think they should have done is throw out the pizza reward, and the reward should have been that. But the way that it should have been handled is Jeff should have said, he shouldn't show anybody it, but he should say, there's a secret advantage in this tube. It's something that was at your merge feast that every single one of you missed. I think that, because it kind of rubs the survivors.
Six people get it.
No. But I'm saying, like, they should have made it an individual challenge. They shouldn't have made it six people. They should have made it individual. And because it kind of rubs the survivor's face in it. Because right now, Nick has no idea that he missed that at the merge. He said, oh, it's the same picture as from the merge. No, it's the exact same piece of paper as from the merge.
They recycled that.
Like, and you all missed it. Like, every single one of them missed it. And I would have loved if Jeff would have said, look, the reward was going to be pizza tonight. But considering every single one of you missed an advantage at the merge feast, that is now the reward for this. And we've seen, you know, we've seen advantages be given out as rewards. So why not do it that way? That to me is more interesting because now people are playing for something and it kind of says, like, look, you know, this advantage might be a curse now, but you all had a chance to get it in secret and you ended up not doing it. That's your problem because we gave you all the opportunity and nobody pulled it off. So now everybody's going to know you have this advantage, but it's something that's yours. And I think that would have just been so much better than just like, hey, that doesn't look like a leaf.
So I like the idea of Jeff rubbing it in their face. Can you refresh my memory on a time when they did just straight up give an advantage as a reward?
I mean, every time that they do the
oh, I guess then when Malcolm won.
Keith Nail did it. Yeah, they all do that.
Mike Holloway. Yeah.
Mike Holloway. Wendell last year was like, that was like straight up, like, you're going to go to Ghost Island and get some.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a definite, this is going to work out favorably for you. Go to Ghost Island and you're going to get something.
Yeah, I guess I just don't like that that's what the reward is. Because then it goes into this whole thing of like, if I'm going to take this stance of I want less advantages, I can't support that.
Well, no. the only reason I say that it works here is because you only do it this one time because everybody missed it. And that becomes like, all of a sudden, that's what you set the tone as for Survivor. Because clearly, Survivor, the producers were not going to be okay with this reward never being found. Like, they were not going to, like, maybe the reward doesn't get found, but they're never going to be okay with this piece of paper never being found. So the fact that they had to drop that in the woods so that somebody would pick it up and use it, I think says everything you need to know. Like, the Survivor producers really, really, really need this there. They need this. They want it there so badly. And so I think that it's much more interesting is if they realize, like, every one of you had an opportunity to pick this up and every single one of you blew it. And now only one of you is going to get it and everybody's going to know you have an advantage, but you still have to go and hunt for it and all of that stuff. But it's a clue to an advantage. You even claim that it's, you know, it's a clue to a secret advantage or whatever. There wasn't enough rubbing in the survivors' faces of you all blew this. And that's what rubbed me the wrong way on this.
Yeah, I get that. I guess I just know that these players are smart and I know that like just give me more. Like they remember in like Micronesia when like I think it was like Amy and Ozzy and what's her name? Kathy? Like they all like everyone was hunting for this thing and there were four different places they had to go. And they did that like 10 freaking years ago. You're telling me they can't do that now? I'd rather Survivor just make it that way instead of like make them fight for it because I know that they can find it. I know these players are smart. They know that they're smart. So make them work for it more. And I like them rubbing it in their faces, but at the same time, they don't need to because I think to a point that you made last season, they're going to make sure that's found.
Yeah.
No matter what. So I guess that's my thing. I just hate easy to find idols. It's just not a fun.
Well, this wasn't an idol, experience. Which is what was better about it.
Yeah, or you know what I mean. The main thing that made that enjoyable for me was Davey's interpretive.
Yeah, dance. Well, and so that was the other thing too. I think where this was hidden, I think that this is something that wasn't really shown all season is, I think that was hidden by a location that a lot of these survivors go to, and that's what makes it difficult. I mean, the Goliaths were hanging out there, and so Davey's doing his dance, which was the best distraction maybe of all time.
Wiggles.
Carl and Nick are just like jumping over the rocks over there and digging away. And those Goliaths really didn't even question. I mean, they never even knew that it happened. And so I think that is really, really interesting. And so maybe that's what makes it a little bit more difficult. And I do like that this wasn't just an idol because it would have been too easy to find as an idol because they were like, look, we got to look for a palm tree. Obviously, you're going to be looking for that palm tree. So I thought that this was good. And then in the excitement of the moment, Carl tells Nick, hey, now we have two advantages because I have an idol nullifier. And this was the first person Carl told, I'm pretty sure. Because then Carl comes back and we see Carl and Nick both tell Davey, not only do we have that, we have the idol nullifier. But Davey still doesn't tell him he has the idol at that point. So Davey then holds all of the power and really should have been more scared of Carl because Carl has the idol nullifier, which is never good if you have an idol.
Yeah, you're right. And that, I know a lot of, was it Dom who was saying like, Davey's definitely told Carl, Carl's definitely told Davey. There was a lot of like, oh yeah, there are two things that can help us out. And all three of them were referencing something different. I thought that was pretty cool. But I think Davey and Carl are super tight. I was super wrong in that I thought Davey would hear about Carl's nullifier and want to get rid of him immediately. But from like a meta superfan standpoint, because I think there were like a lot of finger guns to superfans in this episode. Like, obviously everyone had a positive reaction to Carl having an idol nullifier, but that has never existed before. I was expecting more fireworks. Like, that's a thing. Like, I don't know. I guess I was expecting a little bit more, but I'm sure they also had like question marks and production just didn't want to put that in there.
Well, and I think what also ended up happening is because of everything that was going on in this one moment, it doesn't really sink in as much because you just found an idol. You just found a vote steal, which you're really excited about. And then Davey already knows he has an idol, so he's excited about that. And then he hears, oh, there's an idol nullifier. And I think the problem is there was so much excitement already. And because an idol nullifier is strictly an idol nullifier, like there's no question mark about what's an idol nullifier. Once you hear those words, you know what it means. You know what it's going to do. You know that it cancels out all votes. I think that's what Nick said. So you know that that's coming. So I think that's probably why some of the shock and some of the awe was gone. Now, I think that when Carl plays it, and if Carl had played it tonight and that would have been played correctly or something, then all of a sudden you're going to have people dropping their chins being like, what is going on here? But I do think smart move tonight by the guys to decide to get rid of John instead of getting rid of Angelina, because somebody said at the beginning of the episode tonight, I don't remember who it was, but they said they kind of took the fangs out of Angelina. Like, Angelina is no longer really a threat. And look, this is the way I look at Angelina. I've been kind of hard on Angelina, but here's the way I look at Angelina. She is what Bradley would have been had Bradley made it to the merge last season. And I love Bradley, and I really do think that Angelina is a really good, fun villain. I really enjoy watching it. I like you and your mom. I was listening to you guys talk before this, and I love that your mom was that one of maybe it was you, but you were like, she doesn't care. She'll dig. Like, she doesn't care.
She's shameless.
Shameless. That's the word.
Shameless.
And I think that that's great because you know what? Is Angelina somebody that if she won this season, I would sit there and go, yay, Angelina won? Absolutely not. Am I going to cheer when she gets voted out? Absolutely. But I love that type of character. And I love that there's somebody like her who is almost – I said to you, she's got so much pride. She's so smart and she has so much pride. And, like, it bothered her when this whole Christian thing came up tonight. And she was right. It was her idea for the Christian thing. But in a game like Survivor, you need to have the least big ego out of all the big egos in order to win the game. Look at Wendell. He said the whole game, all he wanted to do was be humble, be humble, be humble. And that's why he knocks off Dom at the end of that game. And so that's why I think, like, I love watching what Angelina's doing. I really do believe that this is exactly how Bradley would have ended up playing. Somebody who would have wanted to be making the moves, who would have been seeing the end line, who would have seen maybe he doesn't have the chance to make. Because I do think Angelina also realizes, like, her chances are mediocre at best.
Yeah, I think Angelina goes home for a while at this point.
Well, now, after tonight, I mean, there's no reason to get rid of her. And I think getting rid of John is the absolute right move because John can win the game and he can be dangerous later on. And I just don't think that's the situation here.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with, like, Angelina and Angelina having a lot of pride. Her name can be a mouthful sometimes.
It's too much.
Because, like, she is so freaking smart. And I said this to you, and you just said it now. Her point about Christian is right. This entire episode, she was right. She was like, they caught me red-handed. I wanted to get rid of Christian. But it's pretty much at the point, and she's not going to say this because either she doesn't realize it or this is just, like, a heartbreaking thing to say on TV. People aren't doing what she's saying because they don't like her.
Yeah.
They're over her. And whether or not it's warranted, I think it's at a point where, like, she is just so helpless. And I think people, Dan, are just being ridiculous with her. It's at the point she lost her power. She lost her fangs. She was the star of the last tribal council per Mike. She's like, she's laughing at herself. Like, she gets it now. She gets her place. Dan needs to lay off the freaking gas. He was killing me this episode.
Yeah.
So Angelina is like, I agree with everything you say with her about her. But it's at the point where, like, she gets it, guys. Like, there's no need to be a dick to her anymore.
Yeah, and I think Dan laying there, I think this comes down to, this is personal now. Dan and Angelina, it's, and I texted you tonight and I said, has there ever been a situation where the two villains that nobody is going to vote for to win are the ones who are at each other's throats? Like, that's what's happening right now. Neither Angelina or Dan is going to win, but they're so worried kind of about getting the last word on the other person. I thought it was fantastic that the immunity challenge came down to the two of them tonight. And I honestly thought it was better for the show that Dan won than that Angelina won. Because if Angelina wins that, all of a sudden it's, okay, which Goliath does everybody want to take out? And then all of a sudden this big moment doesn't happen and Christian probably does go home tonight, or there's a much better chance he goes home tonight, because the Goliaths have to start lying to the Davids about, this is who we want to go. And I think the Davids are going to sniff that out and say, look, that's not what you guys are doing. But
Or Alec will just tell them.
I don't even care.
Alec, everything. Someone tweeted this, which I forgot. Alec is like the reason that this happened.
Yeah, Alec, I think I said this to you off the air. I'm going to say it now, and for any of these survivors, if we're even lucky enough to get any of them to come on after the season, I'm going to say,
take a week and a half.
Yeah, as of episode 8 of Survivor David versus Goliath, Alec is my favorite player on the season. I'm saying that like outright. He's not the best player, and I don't agree with everything he's doing, but he is making for such great TV. Somehow his name has never come up. And everything he's doing does make sense. He's playing like the baby version of what Tony did, where he's just trying to cause havoc, but he doesn't have the means like that. And I think Alex also a much more normal dude than Tony is. So I don't think he has like that. He's not that like big personality. But I love what Alec is doing. Alec, see, Angelina got caught doing jury management last week. Alec hasn't gotten caught yet. Alec has been managing every single person on that jury. Everyone likes Alec. Everyone thinks they're in alliance with Alec. And if Alec ends up cutting them off, I don't think anybody's going to be really hurt that it was Alec, because there's other people that they're closer with than Alec. So, like, I am loving what he's doing. I don't think he can win, not even because of the TMZ thing, just because of, you know, the edit of this right now. But even his quick little cut at the beginning, him and Allison had their quick little ones. Angelina, you slime ball. Like, that's,
oh, that was a really fun editing trick, too. That was the Dom and the hell's his name? Dom and Chris.
Chris, yeah.
And trashing Angelina.
Yeah, and what I thought was so good about it is, here's Alex saying, Angelina, you slime ball, which is what everybody watching the episode at that moment was thinking. That's what everybody, because it's the beginning of the episode. You just watched her get mad at Elizabeth for standing up for herself. And now she's trying to sneak her way in. And instantly, who tells you that the Goliaths aren't that dumb? It's Alec who tells you that. And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it.
And each episode, we talk about this all the time, how we don't want to bring up the TMZ thing. But each episode, and everyone who we spoke to last week, and a lot of like past survivors, and kind of the overall consensus is, it is just like so selfish what he did. Yeah. And it's just, there's not much of the season left. There's a month left. Like, how does this happen? I just don't know what the end game is here. And there are some crazy tinfoil hats and conspiracies. There's Alec winning. There's Kara winning. There's like Alec quitting. I have no idea what's going on, but he, call me crazy, I'm really liking him on TV. He's great. He doesn't like crust. I hate crust. I got crust when I was tasting that reward, which probably hasn't happened in like 15 seasons at least. Yeah, I would be pissed. When was the last time he gave them a taste? That happened in like Borneo.
Yeah, no, he used to do it in a lot of the older seasons. I think honestly, the whole entire show changed after Heroes versus Villains, and that's probably when this changed too, because Heroes versus Villains was the real turning point, where after Samoa, you tried to keep finding Russells, you had a big cast in Heroes versus Villains, and then after that, you kept trying to find another Russell or somebody who was just going to be ridiculous, and that's when the editing of the show really started to change, and this feels so much older now, and, you know, you lose John, who's a great character, but, like, if you look at kind of the placement John went, and I'm just kind of putting this into like around like the 9th through 12th place people, you know, it does feel like an old school kind of guy. Like, John was a really likable guy. And if you go back and look at Varner's first time out, that was him. That was Boston Rob, his first time out. And obviously Boston Rob was more of a villain, and I guess Varner was more of a villain too. But, you know, that's the type of character that this is. Like, he wasn't a cartoon. Like, Johnny Mundo was a real guy, like, playing the game. And so, you know, to watch him go out in this way, I mean, you could just see it on his face. Like, granted, he knows how to lose. He's been a professional wrestler his entire life, so he can lose with grace. You know, mm-hmm. although Jeff Kent was also a professional baseball player his whole life, and he couldn't lose with grace.
But anything but.
You could see, like, in his face, it was like, damn, they got me. Like, they really did get me. And I think that a lot of times nowadays, you see a lot of bitterness from people. You see a lot of anger, or you see, like, a lot of, like, almost fake happiness, like when Chris left and Zeke did the Boomer Sooner and mm-hmm. Chris like was like, yeah, that's great. And then as soon as he started thinking about it, he's like, wait, it was Zeke's fault I went home. So I think that this was sincere, though. Like, even when Christian was like, can I be your comptroller, John was like, yeah, man, you got it. Like, what? Like, oh, it's so just cute. Like, John's just like a legit dude, and I love John. And yeah, it's a bummer to see him go, but it once again, it probably is for the better of the season. But like Johnny Fairplay said on our last podcast, John goes, Alec's still there because of what Alec did. We now know, like, there are fewer people left who can win. Like, until Alec goes home, there will always be one less person in the game than you know, that can win. You know, like, so
we're at the final, 10 right now, even though there's 11.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's not going to win.
Everything he's doing is literally just to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's just
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, he's in the game and he's making these great moves and it's really fun to watch him, but we're sitting here going, okay, there's 10 people left who can win, and we know that something's going to happen with Alec, or at least that's what we're thinking, and maybe these conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you inspired a lot of different paths from here. So
go ahead.
I love the way John exits, and I love the way Natalia exits. Like, I love an explosive mm-hmm. one, and I love a damn you got me. And I like dream every night, if I'm ever voted as Survivor, do I have a loud, great TV moment, or do I just sit there and appreciate the fact that I was there? I don't know. I really liked that. That was my point. And I think we had kind of talked about this, or again, maybe I talked to my mom about this. John, like, preseason, we have a professional wrestler. We've never had a professional wrestler on Survivor before. He's the George Bushy of Tushy. And he's, like, quiet. He was not spearheading any alliance. He was not a leader of any alliance. He was kind of quiet for a brick of a human being, which is fascinating.
Yeah. First point, you'd be like Alexis from Cagayan. That's how you would go out.
How did she go out? I don't remember. I would be Dawson and I would try to kiss Jeff. Let's be clear.
Alexis just went out crying. So that would be you.
1,000% cry. I'm going to be a Gabby when I go on.
Yeah, just had that shocked face and then just cried as Jeff snuffed her torch and was still crying as she walked down the thing. And they like even echoed it as she was going.
Or Michaela and like punched the tree.
Yeah, and then the other thing is this is the first male wrestler we've had, Alexa. We did have a female professional wrestler. We had Ashley.
You're right. I stand corrected.
Ashley, but she was barely in it. I mean, and Ashley was another one. She was a larger-than-life personality. Her and Crazy Dave were something else, but she was a really loud personality. John doesn't have that loud of a personality. And look, like,
he's kind of a goober.
And John's one of those guys, like, if they came out with a, you know, as Fairplay was saying on the last podcast, I love that. I'm just going to keep going back to Fairplay. So anybody who hated that podcast, sucks to be you, because I loved it and I'm going to keep going back to it because Fairplay had a lot of really good points. Look past the dead grandma. He's pretty normal. But if what he was saying about possibly having a fan vote, possibly doing all this fun stuff, what he's saying about that is all true, Johnny Mundo is somebody who I wouldn't mind seeing on that ballot. Because he's not somebody who's going to come on the show and just eat up screen time. He's not just going to come on the show and he's not going to be a one-trick pony. Like, I feel like he can change his game. And I feel like people would allow him to change his game. He's not a Joe Anglem type challenge competitor. He's big, but he's not that great. He sucked tonight. And yeah, he's going to be good at holding things over his head. Of course he's going to be good at holding things over his head. But
that's literally what he does for a job.
That's literally what he does for a job. And unless you weigh as much as whatever 250-pound wrestler he's holding over his head, that 20 pounds of sand holding it there for as long as he did, that's probably not that exhausting for him. But I wouldn't mind seeing his name come up on that ballot again. Like, and I'd probably vote for him, depending on who he's with, of course. But that's somebody that I would like to see play again, because he's not going to hog your airtime. He's in a perfect Survivor world. You need the big characters who also help the other characters become big characters, or like everybody gets their share. A Russell hogs all of the screen time so much so that you barely get anything from Colby, who is like one of the all-time favorites in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Mundo is never going to do that. all Johnny Mundo is going to do is have his one or two per episode. Somebody else will get it. And I think Johnny Mundo is somebody who actually can win Survivor, especially in an all returning season where everybody's a threat. So that's somebody who, if his name ever came up on a second chance ballot, which I don't think it would, that's somebody that I wouldn't mind watching play again.
I would like to watch him play again. I don't know how much his game would change, but then again, maybe it could. We didn't really get to see much of his game, which is kind of crazy because he was always winning.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. And I think he did have a game. I mean, it looked like John was making good alliances with people. Look, he goes home tonight because, okay, there were seven Goliaths left. Angelina is the number one target. But you say, okay, let's get it on somebody else. Can't go for Dan, right? Three of those Goliaths are in your alliance. So now there's five of Goliaths that are out there, and it's only between John and it's between Kara. And I just think most people felt John's a bigger threat to win. Kara's somebody we can maybe pull in later. And so let's get rid of John now. Because, look, if Christian and John were as close as they were when they were on Teva and they're calling each other Brochacho and all of that, and John's still not working with Christian, that means John's never going to work with Christian. It's just time to get him out of here.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I thought that was – that Teva group was going to be tighter than it turned out to be. I mean, I knew that none of the girls were going to work with Dan. It seems like Dan didn't have a connection to anybody except for Christian and John, but have he and Christian spoken since? Like, not really. So I think I think that was like an edit thing. Everyone was like, oh, all these people have long-term edits, so they're obviously going to work together. But I really don't know what's going to happen moving forward. I mean, Gabby's, you kind of see in the preview, Gabby's like, yes, everyone come to us. I think she and Allison are still tight. I think they're definitely going to connect again. I mean, Dan's definitely not going to work with them. I don't know. This is going to be interesting. This is getting better and better.
Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better. And so, you know, back, like, if you look at that reward challenge, I thought what was interesting about this is we've been complaining a lot. If you're going to do a schoolyard pick, I'm actually do the schoolyard pick'em. And what ended up happening tonight is Jeff says, we're going to do a schoolyard pick'em. And Gabby goes, oh no. And then what happens is Gabby and Mike, like Jeff announces, Gabby and Mike, we're the captains of these teams. And, you know, I thought that that was good.
How do you think of Gabby essentially choosing the strike force?
Well, she just picked the strongest dude. So I think I bet she had first pick. So she takes John. Mike takes Dan. She takes Alec. Mike takes whoever. She takes Allison. Mike takes whoever. She takes Christian. Nobody's going to bat an eye at that order.
Yeah, that's pretty true. I saw someone, because I think that breakout was in the preview, and someone was like, you don't want to do that because then you're creating a sub-alliance out of people who don't win. But that's a really good point.
And in a challenge like this, you know that the reward is going to be at your camp. Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't have a lot of time to create this sub-alliance because you could easily just eat the pizza in front of all of them if you want.
Hottest take of the episode, that pizza looked good.
Yeah, it didn't look bad. I'm pretty surprised.
Did not look bad. Allison looked to be slightly enjoying it, at least. Again, I love that Jeff gave him a taste, and I have been complaining about the challenges a lot this season, namely because I can't remember a single one of them now that we're actually talking about it. This one was great. This was endurance and teamwork. And I don't know, did Jeff say how much each bag actually weighed?
They were 10
pounds. 10 pounds. This is like that classic, I don't know if you ever like did this as a kid, but you put a mug in your arm and outstretch it. You can't do that for more than like, I think it's 8 minutes. Everyone, like, that's everyone's like breaking point. That's like when you extend, you can't carry 10 pounds or 30 pounds, or you pull a Dan and you think you can, and then you end up losing a trap pizza.
Well, and what I thought that this is a simpler version of the run in the circle, catch the other team challenge, where you have to contribute the weight to everybody. And that's what I liked about this is there was a lot of movement in this challenge. It wasn't just stand there. Every 15 minutes, somebody's dropping out. Somebody has to get more weight, but you're passing it around all the time. I really like that. I thought this definitely gives an advantage to the taller people because you can bend your elbows. And look, you might not be able to hold it when it's stretched straight out, but when you have your hands like this, that's not that hard. You know, and but for anybody
who's really listening. Did it have to be above your head? Was that what the...
It had to be above your head, but it's...
They were really high up.
Well, I know John kept kind of like, he would stretch it out and then he'd bring it down. And then he'd stretch it out and then he was almost like benching it. Because I think that there's like, that's kind of easy. You got to keep the blood flowing. And somebody who's really short, like a Gabby or a Mike White, you're having a harder time keeping it flowing because you don't have as much room to drop down because the further you drop, the easier it is for that bag to fall. Although I did love Dan blowing this because he's talking crap And Alex, like, dude, like, what's your problem? Once again, it's Alec, the hero. I love that Alec is the hero. Alec comes out. He's like,
Alec and Gabby.
And what did Gabby say? Like, we're just being strategic.
Gabby was like, we're being strategic. And then Dan's like, ugh, and then drops it.
I mean, no doubt he was going to drop that. Like, those bags are not even, and the weight is not evenly dispersed. And
Kara is holding it with two hands like a smart person. And Dan's like, look at me, and then drops it. And Kara's like, well, F this.
Yeah, and Kara was like, seriously, I'm fine. I can take more. Like, Kara, you know, once again proving that, like, she's a tank out there and nobody's giving her any credit. And, like, who's the one who blows this challenge? Like, if you would have told me beforehand that it would have been Dan with three bags, like, I wouldn't have believed you, because, like, this is a challenge where Dan should have lost it with five bags, or Mike should have dropped one of his two bags or something like that.
And actually, you kind of just – you proved an earlier point that you made. You just said, like, Kara's a tank and no one's giving her credit for it. But I think it's kind of working for her.
Yeah, she's quiet.
That's kind of like the beauty of her. Everyone seems to be fine with her. I also thought I got, like, Allison, you overhear Allison at one point say, John, let me take these away from you so you can rest. Because the plan was obviously to just dump it on John at the end. So to have the, like, weaker people hold them to just prepare him, I thought that's a really good strategy too.
Well, and yeah, if you look at the beginning, the way this challenge started off, John only had one in his hand. He only had one. And so that he only had one arm up, and then he probably passed that one off, took the other one, and then, you know, you're giving it to your big guy, but you know that these other people are going to drop out. So rather than have him doing it for an hour, this is a challenge I hope we see a lot more of.
I was a huge fan of this one. A lot of strategy, a lot of teamwork behind it.
Yeah. And then, you know, the immunity challenge we've seen before. I mean, people were dropping like crazy. Jeff made sure to say Brad Culpepper at least three times.
Oh, my God.
I'm surprised Brad Culpepper didn't appear on the island. Like,
Brad and Monica just come skipping out of that tree.
Oh, my God. So we saw that. And you know, I don't know. I mean, Johnny Mundo had the episode title tonight. But yeah, I mean, that's really all that's all I had from it. I mean, what else do you have to say about this? We're not that long in.
This was brought up in the beginning and was kind of dropped. Mike talks to Christian and he's like, I'm really feeling the strike force, but Gabby is making me nervous, which I think is a very fair point. I know there were a lot of questions on, like, Gabby's performance at Elizabeth at that first tribal council, whether or not she was playing it up. I don't really know where that netted out. But Mike is understandably nervous about Gabby. He's like, she's giving this whole pitch about how, like, the Davies are the good guys. And Mike is like, well, here I am trying to join you guys. And then Christian in a confessional goes, huh, I think that's kind of crazy that he's saying that. I don't think that's unreasonable of Mike to think that.
No, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that. I think what's interesting is that he's telling Christian. And, like, Christian even said, well, at least he told me. Because I don't think Mike realizes how close Christian and Gabby are. Probably, and especially if Mike's going to turn around and try to vote Christian out by the end of that episode. Like, what up, man? Like, why are you doing this? Like,
I know. Poor Mike. Mike, like, was about to be the star of this merge. And now not present.
But I do think Mike's going to be okay. I really do. Because what I'm viewing here with Mike is, so what I'm seeing from Mike right now is, even though he was the one who was like, let's get rid of Christian, and people might have been nervous, like, oh my God, why are we going to do this with Christian? I think that because it didn't work this time, now the strike force is the move. That is your six. And maybe he's scared that people can beat him, or he's not completely confident with it. But he still has a couple other people he can go to. But I think that he realizes his best bet is the six, because Davey, who wasn't in the strike force, is the one who gave Christian the idol, which has to make Mike go, oh crap, I'm not the only one who's trying to vote out people that I was originally aligned with. So I think that Mike's going to be okay. He's still not all that threatening. There's still bigger threats than him. Angelina is still somebody who's a bigger threat. And I'm just talking from Goliath perspective. And Dan is somebody who's a bigger threat. So I think that Mike's going to end up being okay.
I think Mike will be fine. And Mike brought up a name that everyone can support, everyone can get behind.
The other thing too. Yeah.
One good point that Jake, I can never pronounce your name, Jake Roush, who I believe is a patron of Specialists. Yay, patrons. He just said in group chat, I just finished watching, imagine if Dan betrays Angelina and then Angelina stays anyways. If this is actually true, which I think, right, that John gets three votes and Angelina gets two votes, Dan betrays Angelina and then Angelina comes back.
Yeah.
And he didn't give her an idol.
That would have been mayhem.
Pretty much any scenario that could have happened tonight would have resulted in very enjoyable insanity.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what's interesting about this entire thing now is, even though Angelina and Dan clearly don't get along, Dan did just save Angelina. So mm-hmm. what does this mean? And also for somebody,
it means nothing for them.
Yeah, but I wonder what it means for that whole group going forward. And what's really big here is Christian actually probably gets a little more longevity out of this because he's no mm-hmm. longer as big of a threat. Because if he sits next to Davey, Davey says, "I didn't do that. Christian doesn't sit here. What are you talking about?" Like Christian Davey now has that, and it's not a pre-merge move. It's a merge move. The jury gets to see it. Everybody who's going to be on the jury saw that move. Where it's, if I didn't give this to Christian, Christian would not have made it to the final three. He would not have made it here. So if Davey's sitting next to Christian, Davey has a better argument than Christian. And now all of a sudden there's weakness in Christian's argument because it's, man, you should have went home that one night. You're so lucky Davey played that. And that's something that somebody sitting next to him can play up while they also say, like Nick could say, look, that was my idea. I came up with all of that.
I think if Christian is sitting next to Davey, you have to give that to Davey. Because yeah. it's kind of like the Jessica Lewis and David Wright thing. Like, she couldn't beat David Wright because he was the reason she survived, like, the third boot.
Yeah, no. But then again, all the way in early in the season, Russell saved Parvati, and people think Parvati should have won that season. So it's interesting. It depends on how, I guess, evil you are, too, which Davey's not evil, so, you know. But, yeah.
I have something else I'm not thinking about. Keep going.
What else do you want me to say?
I don't know. You were saying something that I interrupted.
Well, Emily H said, "Are you guys still doing the bootless game? Because somehow I'm on fire this season. I still want that buff." Yes, we do. We do have the bootless scores. We just have to like put them in some sort of order.
First of all, intern sucks, and second of all, Phil and I will be driving 8 hours on Friday to go see said intern. So if I'm bored in this car, which I probably will be, because I'll be sitting next to Phil, I will. I'll post these on Facebook because I know we haven't done that this season at all. And I don't even know where I stand on it. Probably pretty terribly.
Yeah.
And we'll post those.
We'll give like prop bet updates and all of that fun stuff too, because we haven't really done that.
Okay, you talk. I got to refresh my screen real quick because I haven't moved in like 10 minutes.
Okay. So I'll just read comments while Alexa disappears because I'm here for everybody. I hope that I'm still here for everybody and that it doesn't disappear because of that. But anyway, what I will do is Giovanni Rihanna, if you're Dan, everyone know you have an idol. Why not keep it, especially during a night where he wasn't in danger? I think now because he's actually less threatening because he plays one idol and that's the only one everybody knew about. So nobody knows that he has another one. So actually now nobody's going to be scared of him. And if they try to vote for him, they'll probably end up telling him. And now he can just be like, well, I have another one. And I think only Kara knows about it. So I think that that's a big deal.
I think we see Kara officially wanting to break up with him this episode. So I think he's like, this one will definitely be used for him. But yeah, it's going to be hard to blindside him because now he knows people want to get rid of him. And someone brought up a good point that reminded me. The reason they got rid of John was also to weaken Dan, because I think that was implied in the Nick and Davey conversation where they said, like Dan's the leader, we got to get rid of Dan, but obviously they couldn't. So chopping off his right-hand man was the right call.
And I think that had Dan not won immunity, he goes home tonight.
Probably.
That would have been who they would have ended up voting out. So then it's, Gamer Girl. Which idol do you think Dan played, the one everyone knew about or the one only him and Kara know about? He definitely played the one everybody knew about. Because, I mean, at least that's what I would hope. Otherwise, that's
and also, has anyone actually seen his idol, or they just know he has an idol?
Well, Jeremy saw it. I think Mike saw it.
Because I don't know what they actually look like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Let me think. What else are we missing here? Angelina's a decoy boot. That was the same immunity challenge as Game Changers. I kind of like it. The balancing, like the foot balancing makes it that much more difficult. I still think it would be hard even if you're not balancing on that. Also Alec and Nick are tight ? Things I wrote down. When did that happen?
I just think that Nick is really tight with everybody. This is what I'm saying. Everybody feels confident with Nick. Davey's going idol hunting with him. We know about Mike. We know about Christian. We also hear about Alec tonight. Like, I think everybody feels really comfortable with Nick.
Mm-hmm. And he even said, I think it was right before going to tribal council, he was like, no one's afraid of me. There's no target on my back. And he's completely right. I thought that was like very self-aware is the right word. Like the fact that he knows that and he's in a really good position. I wouldn't be surprised if it backfired like quickly over an episode, but he's also not doing anything malicious either. He's not like purposely like pitting people against each other. He just has friends everywhere.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then we have survivor rules. Why not take out the flipper like Mike or Alex to teach them a lesson? If I was Nick, I would have taken out Mike for being a traitor, or Alec perhaps. Was John the better choice? John's absolutely the better choice because everything you just said. Mm-hmm. You know, like Nick is making sure that he keeps the people that he feels he can trust even a little bit. And I don't think he had a relationship with John at all. I don't think he had any relationship with John. So, yeah, I do think it's the right move, what he did.
Yeah, it's easier for Nick to get rid of John because, like you said, he has no relationship. So there's no, you know, like feelings hurt there. And Christian clearly seemed fine with it as well.
Yeah. And then Gamer Girl says, now the two idols have been flushed. Do you think another one is going to be put out there? If so, who do you see finding it? I think we definitely get another one out there. We normally do after one is played. So I think we definitely get one if two were played. And in terms of who will find it, I don't know. I mean,
I think
it could
all
be
the players are smart.
Yeah, anybody could find it. Maybe this is when Angelina finally gets an idol. Maybe that's what happens. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what ends up happening moving forward with that. In terms of MVP, LVP, I think that this was a pretty obvious Davey MVP, even though Nick did do a lot. I still think that it should just be Davey. And then in terms of LVP,
I'm looking to see whose team Davey's on.
I'm just going to see it. I'm going to say Angelina because she's on Vaughn's team and Vaughn's still wiping the floor with us. So.
But Angelina, this is why I don't like MVP, LVP. Angelina was supposed to go home and she didn't.
Yeah.
And so that can't make her the LVP. That's always your argument.
I'm so happy that you finally agree with me that MVP, LVP is stupid. I'm so happy
you
agree with me.
I have told you, come on. I've been saying that forever.
You've been saying that for weeks now, but this is the first time I think you've come out on the podcast and been like,
we're getting rid of MVP, LVP next season. Spoiler alert. So if you have anything in mind, let us know.
MVP is not that bad. LVP is stupid because it's the whole Joe Mena rule, which I defended to no end. Joe Mena played
the
game. The
Joe Mena rule is what I'm doing to Angelina right now. So
yeah,
Angelina's
on Vaughn's team.
No, stop. See, that's another thing. Now it's all like, it's all politics. Just not being on your team. I don't like politics. I used to survive to escape politics. Also, I lost a team member. Damn it.
You did. You lost Mondo.
I have Dan, Allison, and Kara. Dan was my first pick.
Let's keep on mentioning that. So Vaughn's first pick was Nick. My first pick was Gabby. Alexa's first pick was Dan.
Oh, my God. Let's change the subject. Kara was my last pick, and I'm really pumped about that.
Yeah. I got Christian and Carl somewhere in there.
Bradley is slaying it with Alec on his team.
Yeah, when Alec ends up winning this.
Dream team.
Yeah. Okay, and I think my Excel sheet just froze, so I don't even know what's going on.
Great.
My computer's about to explode. Anyway.
Anyways.
So yeah, I don't know. But as we wind down on this, Alexa and I, we did start up the Patreon, which I'm just going to keep name dropping now because I
want to. Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so we started up the Patreon. We're doing we have the Facebook group, which is going, which nobody has posted in yet except for Alexa and I, which means that it's super exciting.
We should probably post more in it. And to our 10 to 12 patrons that we have, you guys can post stuff too.
We have 16. So anybody who wants to come in and join. Yeah. Anybody who wants to come in and join, keep on coming in. The Facebook group's pretty cool. That's only $1 a month. So, you know, that's the one. And then the next step is we do the Q&A, which we haven't decided what day we're going to do that. We've kind of decided what our patron one is going to be for the retrospective, as we're calling it, the will, because it's like the ghost of Survivor past, the thing that you can't get out of your mind, although you wish you could forget it for the rest of your
creeps,
life.
Creeps
yeah,
in the room.
The thing you wish had never happened. So anybody who's interested in that, you know, come over.
No,
to
let's, why don't we say what we're doing? Cause that'll maybe inspire people to join our patron.
Or it's going to get all of our patrons at the moment to bail and be like, oh my God, why did we sign up for this? You know?
But what we do know is that the Q&A we're going to do, cause as you guys have noticed in the past few seasons, we have kind of dwindled on answering questions and comments. And so what we're going to do is for our $5 patrons ? We are going to do entire podcasts with your questions and answers. And for these, like, anyone can submit them, but the only people who can listen to us answer them are our $5 patrons, $5 and $10 patrons. So what we want you guys to do is, in the meantime, tweet at us some kind of broader questions. It could be about the season. It could be about past seasons. It could be about whatever you want. But we, Phil and I, want to make this like more of a discussion too. We don't just want to, don't want to just be like, why did John go home? Because we answered that tonight. So any kind of overarching opinions that you want to know, like takes on this season, give us kind of your bigger questions and we'll have a discussion about it.
Yeah. And if you just want to talk about Johnny Fairplay for an hour, I'm all in.
That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah. And then we're going to do a retrospective. Let's save that. We'll announce that maybe this weekend because we're going to be sitting next to each other anyway.
Oh, yeah. Phil and I are going to have a great weekend together. For those of you who are on Reddit and really enjoy trolling, Phil and I had a great time the other night. Someone, I don't remember their username. This literally made my month. Someone posted on Reddit and was like, what is up with Phil and Alexa? What is their deal? And somehow this has escalated. We have wild chemistry. Somehow this has escalated to Phil getting down on one knee this weekend in Blacksburg, Virginia, the most romantic place in the country, and asking me to marry him. So stand by. And if you're a $20 patron, you can come to the wedding.
Yeah, there you go. $20 patron. That's a great way to make that a thing. Wait until you see that wedding, too. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be the
Also, Trent can pee. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate that.
You
go away.
We want to go all
Survivor Specialists being credible. These are the same people who thought Natalie and John had a chance to win.
John did have a chance
John
to win.
John did have a chance to
Everybody
win.
Everybody had a chance to win.
And not for nothing. Not for nothing. Before the season starts, I'll say everybody has a chance to win if they're stepping on the island and they're brand new people.
And I mean, have you met all of them? Like us?
My God.
Also, jeez. Natalie really likes us, so obviously Natalie we're going to say things about her. Anyways,
I really like Natalie in a very unbiased opinion, I swear.
Yes, we are an unbiased podcast.
I would just never work for her.
We're actually usually, I feel like we're usually pretty good about being unbiased. But tonight, I let a little bias in, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of
yes,
yourself.
Yes, I am very ashamed. So anyways, Phil and I are going to be hanging out with intern, but we actually, we're going to hang out with intern this weekend, but we did text him and ask him where his tailgate was. We're going to Virginia Tech for the Miami-Virginia Tech game. And he pretty much said he didn't want to hang out with us. So if anybody's going to be in Blacksburg at a tailgate this Saturday around noon, call us because we need a place to hang out.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe there you go. Corwin
Green.
Yes,
Corwin
Green. That's a patron right there. That
is a $10 patron right there.
That's a patron.
Corwin Green, my guy.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Alternatively, I'd like to say that these Survivor Specialists are more credible than the casual fan. Very high bar. Since obviously they have more insight than someone just picking the season up. That's right. We sure
love it. But yeah, you know, we were hoping that intern was going to be the priest or whoever, the overseer of our wedding, whatever that person's
justice
called.
Of the peace? Like, is that what they're?
That's what it's called anyway.
Oh my God, intern and Marys, how cute would that be? Or Johnny Fairplay, because he asked where our seats are, so he might be hanging out with us.
Yeah, I just think what I think is like the funniest, and I'm gonna remove Trent Campy because he's just an idiot.
No censorship.
Oh, hey, I didn't censor him.
I'm gonna undelete it.
Okay, undelete it. But all I was gonna say is my favorite
part
of this.
I'm gonna put him in timeout.
My favorite part of this is you and me are now rambling about our patron, and like it's a Wednesday night. I'm sure that this is like a very capable human being, and he's listening to us talk and he hates us. It's so stupid. All right. Anyway.
Yeah. Phil and I definitely don't waste our time worrying about someone who we've never met and whether or not they like us.
But I just wanted to point that out. I think it's funny. But anyway, Survivor or what is it? Patreon.com/Survivor Specialist if you want to come. Trent can pee $10. You can listen to us two more extra podcasts a week or month. Trent. Month, not week.
Month. Month. I have it pinned on the top of our Twitter. So if you're looking for the link, just go to our Twitter. It's the first thing you'll see, and I'll do that on our Facebook page too. But do it. We're super excited. We're really new to this. If you guys have other ideas of what to add, we kept it pretty generic at the beginning. Obviously, if you want to attend our wedding, we need at least $75 out of you.
I like that one from 20.
Per month, because we're going to get married once a month. And I want more Reddit posts about this because I just think it is so out of body that I am a person that people on the internet sometimes talk about. It's like absolutely
that was a headline.
It's wild. Phil and I, like, we're not going to be good at being famous because Phil and I 3,000 miles apart. We're just giggle texting each other for like 2 hours about it.
I screenshotted that and sent that to all my friends. I was like, guys, this is on Reddit right now. They're asking about
if we're boogie woogieing.
Yeah. Just like
neither here nor there.
Interesting. But anyway.
Anyways.
Alexa, take us home. Actually, Rico Watson, you guys do a great job. Shout out from Barbados. Barbados.
Yo, that's fun.
That's awesome. Okay, there we go. That is awesome. Love hearing that stuff. Go, Alexa.
Okay, I'm taking us home. It's time to go to bed. So, as we have not plugged enough, go to patreon.com/survivorspecialists. Go to our Twitter. You'll be able to find the link there. And become a patron. For only $1, you can hang out in our Facebook group, which, again, is not super active, but we're going to make it active. And so are the 16 patrons we currently have. If you want to pay – actually, don't remember the tiers off the top of your head. But if you want to pay $5 or if you want to pay $10
– it's one as a fan, five as an intern, and 10 as a Will. Go ahead.
Right. Yes. But you don't want to be a Will. But you also do because you want to pay us $10 a month.
You do.
So we're going to be coming out with more podcasts. So many of you guys over the past few years, you've Facebook messaged us, you've emailed us, and you say, I've always wanted to hear you guys talk about this. Well, here is your chance. We have looked at everything you guys have sent us. I think what we're doing was a suggestion. So I forget who suggested it. I should look it up so they get credit. But we're super excited to get started on this. Again, if you guys have any further suggestions on what we should add, if we should add another tier, add something else, let us know. We're as new to this as you guys are. In the meantime, we are at 3,899 subscribers on YouTube. I need one person to get us to 3,900. And then I want 100 more to get us to 4,000. So that was really sketchy. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Hit that subscribe on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Apparently, we end up in like the top 200 on iTunes every once in a while, which is crazy. So because there are podcasts about like how to manage your finances. And then there's us. So keep doing what you're doing. We are having so much fun this season. I am so happy to be a part of an actual good season. It's taken me 3 or 4 tries to get here. We're having a really good time. Vote for MVP, LVP, but also don't because it's stupid. And come back this weekend at some point. Phil and I will be super hungover podcasting together with our episode 9 predictions. Have a good night.